Blog Talk Radio.
So scared of getting older, I'm only good at being young. So I play the numbers game to find a way to say that life has just begun.
Good morning, all, and welcome to Who You Calling Old. This is the last couple of days of June. If we can believe it, it has flown by us ever so fast, and we are heading into the 4th of July weekend, which is actually on a Saturday, so people will be firing up grills and picking out food and doing all kinds of things on their grills this week. So, boy, oh, boy, is everybody getting ready. So this is what makes our guest today. She's a repeat guest that I absolutely love because she's real and she tells it like it is. And her name is Linda Wagner, and she's the author of As Is, Confessions of a True Fatty. And I will forego all the talking because we're talking about a subject that is talked about daily on television, in any particular thing, and it has to do with weight, weight issues, weight loss, the weight loss industry, family relationships when it comes to food, your relationship when it comes to food. So we are talking to Linda Wagner this morning, author and all-around great person. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Charmaine. Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have you on. I truly am, because you are an example of what I've talked about quite a bit myself in terms of when people talk about losing weight. I'm actually, when I have, I'll put it out this way. They talk about the celebrities that they have, you know, when they lose weight and what have you. And then you sit back and you say to yourself, oh, well, I did this and I did that and I just what have you. A real big fail last week, I believe it was Beyonce had a big announcement, a 21-day vegan cleanse. And I'm sitting there going, did they really just do that? Really? I said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But, okay, whatever, just anything, okay? Now, let's remember something. She's got a ton of money, a staff, a trainer. She's she's got somebody for her daughter. There's none. She doesn't have what's known as a real life. She's not like the rest of us. So I'd like to get your thoughts on this because everything is about a quick fix, and I would like you to tell your story and how you came to write the books that you have dealing with this very important issue.
Well, I claim to be a self-professed expert on obesity because I've been dealing with weight my whole life. And, you know, as the years go by and as we get older, we get wiser, hopefully, and the things that were so important when we're younger are not as important as we get older. We start to have real appreciation for the little things in life. And one of the things that we need to take a look at is reality in the way we treat each other as human beings and our weight. So, you know, a lot of times when you're young, you go, okay, I got to get thin for this party, or if I'm going out clubbing or whatever it may be, I want to get a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever it is. But as you get older, you realize that these quick fixes, they don't work. It's not about a quick fix. It's about long-term lifestyle changing. It's about taking a look at what you're doing to yourself and then finding what's really valuable and applying it to your life. Our problem with weight is not about trying to look good. Our problem with weight is about trying to learn how to eat right because it matters to us. And a lot of us can say it matters to us. It matters to me so much to eat and be healthy. The problem is not that I don't know what to do. It's being able to apply what I know to do. And so anything that's a quick fix, lose weight in 10 pounds a week, you know, take these pills, that's not going to help you lose weight. It might help you lose weight in the beginning, but until you actually change the way you look at food and the relationship you have with food, until you actually turn around and realize that it's the lifestyle changes, you have to want it more than you do the ice cream sundae sitting in front of you. And
absolutely,
that
I agree.
Yeah, I mean, these quick fix 21-day cleanse, they're not healthy. Most of them are not healthy. And let's face it, with all the diets out there, they don't work. Why? The only reason why 95% of the people don't keep it off and regain the weight, it's not that the diets don't work. It's that it doesn't work for us as people. What works for us as people is valuing what we're doing for ourselves.
Exactly. Our ideas are very, very simple in that sense that I think what happens with people forget that the weight loss industry is based on a model of failure. See, because it's a vicious cycle. You join Weight Watchers, Nutrisystem, whatever it is. And I'm, by the way, I'm not endorsing nor talking about them or saying they're awful or making anything about them before we get into all that legality thing and what have you. This is what happens when you have a fiancé that's a liar. You've got to go out and make sure you say these things first. So I'm not saying anything about them. What the problem is that these programs and these things that are out there are not, they are addressing the food. They are not addressing the relationship with the food. Why do you eat? What causes you to eat? What are your triggers? And are you eating because you're hungry or are you eating because you're unhappy? Which one is it?
I don't think anyone eats because they're hungry anymore. I don't think anyone knows what hunger feels like.
I don't think we have a chance to find out what hunger is.
I agree with you. You know, we're blessed. Even in the worst parts of this country, we're poor. You know, there are people that are hungry and starving. And the very thought of it makes me nuts because we waste so much food. And, you know, some of us can have it whenever we want. It doesn't compare to the fact that most people in this country eat pretty well and overeat. We all do. I see it in my work, you know, that if somebody brings in a box of donuts or a cake, it's gone in 15 minutes. Or, you know, it's
absolutely.
We eat because we want to eat. It feels good. It tastes good.
And yeah,
feels
everybody.
Good.
The thing is, you're right. But the thing is, what we have to understand is we have to develop, I think what I find so great about your message in your book is that you talk about you're really bringing out the point of eating to live and not living to eat. And that's not to say that you can no longer have a sundae, you can no longer eat cake, you can no longer have donuts, you can no longer have all these things. What you're saying is you have to have your quote unquote come to Jesus moment with food and find out what you can do in moderation. There's nothing wrong with cake and ice cream. There is something wrong with eating a whole cake and a half a gallon of ice cream at one time.
Exactly.
I said now, you've seen it. We, you know, this past year during, it's one of my favorite sitcoms, Modern Family, and it was the Valentine's Day episode, and the stepson was watching a marathon of something, and he was sitting on the couch. He had a whatever on a comforter, and he was eating ice cream, I don't know what kind, and he was talking about something, and then the character, the stepfather said to him, he goes, "You're basically a Kathy cartoon." Sitting there eating ice cream, stuffing your face, watching television. Because you don't have a date for Valentine's Day. So instead of dealing with that, you're gonna watch, you're gonna drown your sorrows in a pint of Ben and Jerry's and a marathon of whatever the heck that is on television.
That is so true. It's so funny because it's so true, and that's what makes it so funny. Is, you know, we don't see ourselves. We see it in someone else. And sometimes you have to look at the very tip of your nose and look below it, and what do you got there is yourself. You know?
Oh,
we
absolutely.
Have these bad habits, you know, that
we do. We have very, very bad habits and bad things that we do. And it's troubling. And I wanted to particularly bring something out because this is on the rise. And we've seen it a lot. You have actually gone through, I believe you had bariatric surgery?
Yes, I did.
And so you understand the bariatric surgery, and now we also have, they have a sleeve, and they have the lap band as
they
well?
Do. And yep, they do. And, you know, I always say God bless these humanity that we have the intelligence to be able to create things that will help people, medicines and surgeries and things like that. But, you know, why is it that most people who have bariatric surgery, for sure the lap band and the sleeve, will gain 50% of their weight back within 5 years? And the reason being is we're not getting to the root of what the real cause is. The root behind food addiction has nothing to do with food. Food is a substance that we're using to self-medicate. The root of food addiction comes from how we see our life and how we perceive ourselves in that life. And if you don't get to what's really bugging you, what's really making you ticked off and wanting to turn to food as a source of, instead of nutrition and pleasure, you're using it as a source of numbing. And that's the problem here. Bariatric surgery saved my life because I was diabetic heading for insulin. Now I'm not diabetic, and out of 250 pounds that I had lost, I gained 115, and I've dropped about 5, almost 30 of it since. But it's been very slow to lose it. Thank you.
But that's the way you take it, though. Slow and steady wins the race. Remember the turtle and the hare?
Yep. But it's been not because I've been great at sticking to any type of diet. It's because I've been great at recognizing that I'm going to have moments that are going to be hard for me to get through and accepting that. It's about knowing that there's going to be times that I don't want to stick to a diet. And as long as I'm prepared and know that, then I can get back on quickly. Most of the time when we go start binge eating or we go out to dinner and we splurge and we've been dieting, we don't know how to get back on track. And the reason we don't know how to get back on track is the mentality is, well, we've already blown it. Okay, I'll start tomorrow.
What the hell? I already blew it out. I might as well go the whole nine yards.
Exactly. And then you end up starting the cycle all over again. But if you recognize that the real reason behind eating, overeating, binging, any of the food disorders is not because of anything more than the fact that you're not facing whatever it is you need to face and handle. And it's okay. You don't have to face everything. I always use the analogy of the junk drawer. You know, we all have a junk drawer in our kitchen. And we throw things in there, and we, you know, I don't know, I want to save that, I'm not sure why. And the same thing with our life and the way we think about life and the things that we have gone through in our life. We toss it in the junk drawer, but what do you do at home in your junk drawer? Every couple of years, you empty everything out, and then you throw some things away, but some things you're not ready to let go of. And there's no real reason behind it, but you have to do it in time. And it's the same thing with our weight. We're holding on to something, you know. We're holding deep into something that we're not ready to let go of. And that's what my journey has been about, is to figure out what it is that I'm holding on to that's keeping the weight on and breaking that barrier and then facing it, dealing with it, and moving on to a full life.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love, that's why I wanted you to be on the show again, is to kind of reinforce people in terms of having them hear these words, which is, you do not eat when you're eating and what have you. You sign up for whatever the devil it is, and whether it's a lap band, a gastric bypass, the sleeve, whatever it is, okay? And I'm also going to include plastic surgery, you know, the liposuction, the tucks, the nips, the whole thing like that, and all that kind of thing. Here's what the problem basically boils down to. You can go to the best surgeon, the best plastic surgeon in the world. You can join a weight group that has a high rate of success or what have you, and that's great. But if you don't, but no surgeon can cut away, can operate and take away the reasons for why you eat. You have to deal with that. That's a head problem. That's not a stomach problem. That's not a food problem. That's an emotional problem.
That's right.
And a surgeon is there to cut. He's not there to help you emergence, you know, with your emotions. He's there to cut.
That's right. And, you know, you got to do something else. You got to take a hard look at yourself and then smile. Be willing to laugh at yourself. Because, you know, what makes somebody beautiful? What makes somebody really sexy? It's not the way they look on the outside. That's what we see at first. But you could have somebody that's drop-dead gorgeous, and the minute they open their mouth, you all of a sudden realize, that's not so hot after all. But if you have somebody that's really sexy from the inside out, beautiful from the inside out, no matter what they look like, you'll get past the looks and you'll appreciate what they are because of who they are. And that's what we need to put our focus on, is we have to find within ourselves and rejoice within ourselves at what makes us really good people, kind people, sweet people, you know, go-getters.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And once you appreciate those things about yourself, the outside will come and change, trust me. It's not going to be the same as I was when I was 18 years old, and I just know that when I'm in the next 20 years, it's not going to be the same as it is today. But that's okay, instead of worrying about it. And that's one of the reasons why I love your show, you know, because you are embracing and empowering people to, you know, rejoice in who they are today. Not what they worried about, not what they're going to be like, but who they are today, and to make the most out of it.
Absolutely. That's what we got to think about. And the thing is, I really appreciate that, because the other point I wanted to talk about is we have a media machine that goes on. And it's, let's face it, it's truly a media machine that's pointed at women. And
yes.
It starts young. We come from families that are weight conscious. You ever had one of those weight conscious mothers that pick at you? Or you have people who will say, oh, you gain weight, you lost weight, that kind of stuff. And maybe they said it to you 15 years ago, they forgot about it and everything like that, but you still hear it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
And these are the things that stay with you. People don't realize that there are that some parts of eating and this thing where we're talking about addiction. Now, when everybody says addiction, you think of drugs, you know, prescriptions or, you know, heroin or illegal substances and so forth. Food is an addiction as well, because people who are addicts are trying to medicate something. They're trying to fill a hole. They're trying to numb something that they don't want to feel.
That's right.
That's what the bottom line is. They don't want to feel it, and they've got to find something to make it so that they don't feel it. So that's why they get high or they do whatever they do, because they don't want to feel that. But the problem is that we have a very skewed view of it. For women in particular, we're told that we're not beautiful. We're not beautiful. We're not desirable unless we look a particular way and we are a particular size. Okay, that's what beauty is. And then I'm always reminded, I said, how many gorgeous actresses that have looked like they've never had a battle with weight a day in their lives have been divorced umpteen times, break up with people left and right, and have problems in their relationships. They get cheated on or they cheat. And where does all that come from? Now, according to the media, they are the ideal. Who cheats on the ideal woman? Who cheats on her? Now, if somebody cheats on that person, what message does that send to you and me?
Well, you make two seriously really great points. One, regarding the media and, you know, what is defined as the epitome of a woman. And if you take a look around you, just go to a shopping mall and just find a bench and sit there and people watch. You don't find too many people that are 6 foot tall, 117 pounds, with perfect body figures and faces and things like that. Most of us are not that. Most people will never be that. And I don't know about you. I mean, God bless them, they're gorgeous, but I don't want to be 6 foot tall. I'm happy with my height. You know, I don't think it has anything to do. Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with what we inside perceive as beautiful. It's what we are told is beautiful. And you know what? Stop telling us what's beautiful, media. Why don't you instead embrace real women and embrace women of all sizes and make all of us feel beautiful? Because beauty is only goes so far as what you're going to look like. Most of these models, you know, they're 14, 15 years old. Some of them in the early
20s. They haven't even finished growing. They haven't finished growing.
Exactly. And none of us want to look like we did when we were 14 years old. We want to look like who we are. We just want to feel good about ourselves. And that goodness comes from knowing that we have something to bring to the table. It's not just a body.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. And, I can give you for something to make people feel good, this thing, what have you, I go to Bridal Market Week. I've also been to Fashion Week when it was in Bryant Park, and I haven't been to the one at Lincoln Center yet, but I have been to Fashion Week, and I've seen the models. And the models are these incredibly tall creatures, and you can count bones. And you can count bones. These girls, when you see them in the back, if you're walking around, you'll find a little circle around where they're all standing there smoking cigarettes in place of food. Because a woman who is 6 foot two or 6 foot three is not supposed to weigh 117 pounds.
That's right.
She looks like you can see everything. I mean, she is barely, she's barely got skin enough to not be an actual skeleton. I used to joke all the time. I said, I don't have any idea why you have Fashion Week in September. You should have it in October with all the ghouls you have back here. I said, because these girls look like ghouls. I mean, they just come down, and they're just these skinny little things and what have you. You know, or you just put, like skeleton paint on them. Don't do smoky eyes and stuff. Do the skeleton face. It makes more sense.
Well, that's so funny. That's so funny. But, I'll tell you, I've met a lot of people. In writing this book, I've met a lot of people who have both sides of the problem. I met this one lady that I've known her a while, but she confided something very interesting to me. She said that her husband has the opposite problem. He's so thin and he can't help it. He's just genetically really, really thin. And he says he's been made fun of his whole life. That sometimes when goes out with people, he's wearing 3 pairs of pants, 3 shirts, you know, underneath
just
his clothes.
Just so he can have a little girth.
Yeah, yeah. And so my thing is stop, why don't we stop telling people what we're supposed to look like? Instead, why don't we tell people how we should be behaving in a nice way, in a respectful
and
way,
how
not
we
making
feel.
Fun of people? Yeah.
How about how we should feel?
Yeah. I don't want somebody to tell me I should feel bad because I'm heavy. I want somebody to tell me that, and I don't want somebody to tell me, you know what, you're beautiful. Even though you should lose weight, you've got a beautiful face. Don't be telling me that either.
I mean, that is the most backhanded compliment in the world.
I'm telling you.
I hate that compliment. That is such a backhanded slap. It's not even funny.
I know.
Hate that one.
You're
so pretty. You have such a pretty face. If you were thinner and what have you, you'd be even more successful if you weren't just so stupid every time you open your mouth. How does that sound?
You know.
Yeah. You probably would be the smartest woman in the room if you could get your foot out of your mouth.
There we go.
I mean, you know, because saying something like, you'd be so pretty, you're such a pretty face if you would lose weight, tells me that you have insert foot in mouth up to knee syndrome.
That's right. That's right. And if you don't be careful, you're going to be choking on it.
You better believe you'll choke on it. And believe me, and I probably will be the one shoving it further down your throat. Because
you
I'm
know,
sitting there
I'll
looking
you.
At you like, how dare you? Because the simple fact of the matter is this. Now, there's a show that's on right now. I don't necessarily tune into everything. My fiance thinks it's the worst thing in the world. But I have a few books coming out this year with Utopia Press, and they're called North of 40. It's going to be a series of 3 books, and I base them on the reality shows. The reality shows with the women's lifestyle reality shows, kind of the Real Housewives, whatever type things.
Yeah.
But I kind of do a combo of it. And I just kind of play with it because I watched the shows just to see what the dynamics were. And one particular show has one where these women, a few of them are actual doctors. And one of them has this big thing about weight, and she's a gynecologist, and she's big time on bothering her clients, her patients about weight. Now, I understand where she's coming from in terms of being heart healthy, this, that, and the other, and all that kind of thing. I get it. I completely understand it. But to some extent, I don't think she has a little bit of a tin ear. I don't think she hears herself. She looks like a person. Maybe she was heavier at one time. I don't know. But she doesn't look like she's ever been heavy in her life. She's also a breast cancer survivor 2 times. Now, she's had breast cancer twice, and she doesn't look like a woman who's ever been heavy in her life. Now, they tell you that if you are larger, you're at more risk for cancers. Which is true. I'm not doubting that or the medical research. However, I will say this to you. Cancer and any other illness of any sort does not give a damn about your scale.
No, you're
okay.
Right.
Okay. You can, anyway, right. Yeah. Does not give a damn about the scale whatsoever. So you can go out there, be eating well and doing things and trying to do the right thing and what have you, and these same types of things will happen. So what I would love the message to be, which is your message, honestly, is finding your relationship with food, getting healthy for you, being happy with you, and if somebody else has a problem with that, guess what? That's their problem, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You know, I'll tell you, after I had the gastric bypass surgery, the lowest weight I got to was I was fluctuating between 180 and 185. The surgeon told me I had, of that weight, had that 20 to 25 pounds of it was excess skin. And in my head, I'm going, okay, that would make me like 155 to 160. Okay. You know what? I'll tell you something. The one thing that was awesome is when I'd see my surgeon and ask him, am I going to lose more weight? I had gone from 430 pounds down to 180, 185 in there. And he said to me, by all the numbers of your lab work, you are a healthy woman. I don't care if you lose any more weight. I just care that you stay this healthy. And after a while, I was thinking about what he was saying, because in my head, you know, I want to lose weight. I thought to myself, he's right. I'm a healthy woman. And even though my weight isn't ideal, despite my weight, I was a healthy woman. My blood work proved it. So, you know, now I'd give anything to be that weight and maintain it. And I think it's all relative. You know, we have a weight in our head, a number in our head as to what we think would mean that we are ideally weighted, look good, all of it. And the truth of the matter is what we really need to look at is how healthy do we feel. If your weight's holding you back from doing the things in your life that you really, really want to do, then it's time to lose weight. If your weight's holding you back from being as full of your heart and love and relationships and, you know, that you're miserable, then it's time to lose weight. But if you're enjoying your weight, if you're enjoying your life and you're healthy, then does it really matter whether by some chart if you're 10 pounds or 20 pounds over the ideal weight? I don't think it matters. I think what matters is that you're truly healthy. Not all of us are meant to be a certain weight. Should we, you know, it's true that if you weigh less, it's easier with health risks and problems and things like that. But how much less do we have to be? And I think a lot of it depends on how, what our doctors say when we do our lab work, if we're healthy.
Yeah. And we also have to remember genetics. Let's not forget those good old genes.
Oh, heck. I have a lot of people in my family that we couldn't fit into a pair of jeans because of the obesity in our family. I mean, you know,
okay.
It's just, it is what it is.
And
so
exactly.
We got to stop focusing on the wrong thing, and we got to start empowering ourselves to believe that we can be the best we can be, not by anyone else's standards, but when we go to bed at night and we put our head down, we know we've taken good care of ourselves through the day. And we know that
absolutely.
Tomorrow we're going to have a day to work at it.
And we have another day. But the thing is that regardless of who we are and how much we weigh, we are very presumptuous creatures, and we don't tend to, we tend to do things like make plans. When you open up your eyes in the morning, you thank God that you're able to do that much, and then you go through your day thankful for living that day, and don't make yourself into a crazy person walking around being a human calculator of how many carbs, sugars, this, that, and the other. That's a miserable existence. I mean, and you will make yourself miserable. You have no choice but to be miserable like that. But you just take it a day at a time. You eat properly. You eat to when you're full. You try to make good choices. And you feel good about yourself. Find something to love about you every day. And that'll keep you going.
That's right. And sometimes
and
it's not
and
easy. You get right
always,
easy.
I hate to do this because this is always the greatest conversations of the world, and our time is actually up. I would love for you to give everybody the title of your book where they can find it, and your website, so that they can be in contact with you and visit your website to find out where they can get your book. Maybe you have a blog there that they can read and maybe post a few things of their thoughts and so forth, or email you about some things that are going on in their lives.
I would love it, absolutely love it. Thank you. The name of the book is As Is, Confessions of a True Fatty. It's available right now in pre-order at Barnes & Noble and at Amazon.com, and it will be out on the shelves in about mid-August. My website is LindaMissileWagner.com. I'm on Facebook under Linda Missile Wagner, And also, if you want to email me, you can email me at lindamistelwagner@gmail.com. I welcome it. I want to be there for you. I know we're there for each other, and I truly thank you for letting me be on this morning.
Well, thank you so much for coming, for getting on the show, and as always, it has been an absolute pleasure. I sincerely hope you enjoy the holiday weekend. That's coming up. I don't know what our weather is supposed to be like here on the East Coast, but we hope you enjoy the weather and enjoy the time off, and have a good and just enjoy life in general. And we will definitely see about having you back on the show, because we do have some openings coming up and later on in the year. I love to have you on around the holidays, because you know they spend the whole year telling us to get skinny, then here come the holidays and all the recipes show up. And
thank
then
you
know, like that, so they don't even have. Sometimes I don't think the right hand knows what the left is doing most of the time. But thank you so much for joining us, and I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in to Who You Calling All this morning. We'll be back again next week for the first Monday of the month with our numerologist, Lloyd Strayhorn. In the meantime, Linda Wagner, you have been a fabulous guest. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for edifying our lives and giving us food for thought. I sincerely appreciate it. You have a wonderful, wonderful day. And as for everyone else, enjoy your holiday. Take time out. If it's sunny, get some sun. If it's not sunny, sit and get inside there and, you know, read, write, do whatever you want to do. And maybe do a little power napping. I know a few of us need that these days. But just see what you can do. In the meantime, again, thank you for joining us on Who You Calling Old. My name is Shemaine Canton, and again, thank you for joining us. Have a great week, everyone. Happy 4th of July to all, and to all our veterans and those who are in public service. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
So scared of getting older, I'm only good at being. So I play the numbers game to find a way to say that life has just begun.